Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to another edition of GFC Today. Your host, MG Jr., at your service. GFC Today stands for God, Family, Country. Today means today. Our goal here at GFC Today is to lift up the name of Jesus, train up our family in godliness, and to speak up on current events. Lift up, train up, and speak up. Your host, MG Jr., glad to have you in the mix with us. We're going to have a good show tonight. It's Friday night. Happy Friday to everybody out there, be that it's Friday. I know I am. It's been a long week. So let's get right into it. Let's get right to the nitty-gritty. Right down to the nitty-gritty. We're going to get started on part three of our series, Responding to Accusers. Responding to Accusers. The first point that we made on responding to accusers came out of Luke 23. And the first response was a short answer, a way to respond to accusations. And I guess the context and really how we want to kind of set this up is when you've done nothing wrong and you're being accused of something. Because literally that's what Jesus, when during his trial and during his interrogations and whatnot by the Sanhedrin, by the religious leaders of the time, bonded with a short answer. Point number two is that you can respond with silence, because Jesus did that as well. And our point for today, number three, is going to be to respond accurately. And really what I just kind of quote-unquote titled this point is let them have it. Really to just kind of unload on them an accuser that accuses you of doing something wrong when you haven't done anything wrong. And they're accusing you just for the sake of accusation. So point number three today is I've dubbed this let them have it. And really what Jesus does that. And you can turn to your Bibles with me to John 19. And I'll just kind of set this up, and then we're going to focus on John 19:10 and 11. John 19:10 and 11. And so what's going on here is you're having the trial of Jesus, and he's being flogged, and Pilate wanted to flog Jesus because he didn't feel like Jesus was guilty of anything. So he had him flogged as a token. I mean, this is like a Roman token of gratitude, you know. This is a Roman token of appreciation by getting flogged. In other words, if you got flogged, it was the Roman government taking it easy on you. So that's how John 19 starts out, that Pilate had Jesus flogged, and he was being mocked, he was being persecuted and really just physically violated by the Roman soldiers and really by the Jews as well that were there. So Pilate didn't believe that Jesus was guilty, but he kind of was stuck in the middle. He kind of had to do what he had to do because of his position. So don't ever let your position force you to do something that God has clearly said in his word they should not do. So So Jesus came out and he was wearing a crown of thorns. They dressed him in a purple robe, which is signifies royalty, but they did it in a mocking fashion. So temple guards began, the priests began shouting, "Crucify him." And then the Jewish leaders were wanting him. They want him dead. They want him dead because he has messed up their game. He's totally messed up their deal. I mean, he's like, their chicken coop is completely rattled because of him. And there's no eggs because he's just tearing stuff up, you know. So they want him crucified because he likened himself to God. And so Pilate was afraid. He did not want to send Jesus to crucifixion. So we pick this up in verse 9, John 19:9, and I'll read this and just follow along. So John 19:9, he took Jesus back into the headquarters again, and I'm reading out of the NLT. He took Jesus back into the headquarters again and asked him, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave no answer. Pilate says in verse 10, "Why don't you talk to me?" Pilate demanded. "Don't you realize I have the power to release you or crucify you?" And then Jesus said, "You would have no power over me at all unless it were given to you from above. So the one who handed me over to you has the greater sin." So whenever you are accused of doing something wrong, or you're accused of, or you're, somebody is demanding answers from you. Because in verse 10, we look at this and we see Pilate saying to Jesus, "Why aren't you talking to me?" Because really, if you look at verse 9, it kind of also corroborates with point 2, which is silence. It corroborates that, and it kind of goes along with that, runs parallel with that. Actually, it intersects with it. It intersects with that point, silent, where he was from and he didn't give an answer. And Pilate finally just got kind of exasperated and said, "Why don't you talk to me?" He demanded that of Jesus. He demanded some. When someone demands that you give an answer for something that you didn't do, something that you don't have to talk to him, but you can, if you're honest and you be upfront and you just say, "Look, this is a deal. This is what's going on." Because Jesus said the truth, which was, "You would have no power over me unless it were given to you from above." That means all authority had been given to Jesus. And he said, "So the one who handed me over to you has a greater sin." So in a nutshell, when it means, and really, he just dropped a bombshell on Pilate. Can you imagine the Roman, the power that Pilate wielded as this government official for the Romans, and then having someone tell you that has no credibility in his eyes, in Pilate's eyes, has no credibility, has no, to tell him, "You don't have any authority." You don't really have any authority unless it was given to you from someone else. But we see there that the third point is to just let him have it. Sometimes it's okay to, one, give a short answer to an accuser that has accused you of something wrong, that you haven't done wrong. Number two, sometimes silence is the best way to respond to an accuser that has accused you of doing something you have not done, accused you of being. And I've been there before. I've been there in my work before too, being accused of a misdelivery or something like that, one that I haven't done. And there's a time and a place for point number three as well, to really just to talk, to just converse, to engage, and to step up and to really defend yourself. Because really it's what we saw here with Jesus, is he said, he stood up and he said, because he actually knows where his authority comes from, and he knows where Pilate gets his authority, and that God has ordained this trial, that God is sovereign, and he's already ordained this, all this to take place. So that's what Jesus is, he's basically calling Pilate out and saying, look, my dad is the one that organized all this. You don't have any authority over this unless he allowed it. And we know through biblical prophecy that that's exactly what God, Isaiah 53:10, comes to mind, is that it pleased the Lord to crush him. And we're talking about the perfect sacrifice here that can only be found in Jesus. So let him have it. Sometimes you got to let them have it if they're accusing you of something you didn't do wrong. Let's pray right now. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you and we bless your holy name. And we pray right now for anybody that's listening. We pray that first that they would turn their life to you. If they haven't already, God, that they would turn to you and they would repent from their sin. They would recognize that no one is perfect, God, except Jesus. That no one is perfect except the Son whom has set us free and has given us freedom and has saved us from wrath, from the wrath of the judge, the almighty judge who is God, and has given us new life. And we pray right now for anyone that's listening that they would turn their lives to Jesus that hasn't done so already. And for those that have, we pray that you would help us, God, to respond effectively when we're being accused or we're being persecuted for our faith or we're being short-sighted, God. We pray that you would help us to know when to give a short answer and know when to be silent and know when to just engage the conversation. And we pray you give us the wisdom to know when to do those three things. So let me just thank you for the series, and we pray, Father, over everyone listening. Bless them today. Let them see you, God. Reveal more of yourself through your Son, Jesus, as we pray in his name. Amen. Amen. GFC Today, God, Family, Country Today. I'm your host, MG Jr., and we are moving right along. GFC, God, Family, Country. Our goal here is to lift up, train up, and speak up. We lift up the name of Jesus. We train up our family in godliness and the way they should go. We speak up on current issues. And occasionally we like to eat up. But we will talk about that another time. So, as I mentioned earlier, I want to go ahead and talk a little bit about, Planned Parenthood today. But before we get to that, I'm actually wanted to give a praise report or slash update on what is going on with my family. So through our church, we have small groups. We call them connect groups. They're basically small group structure. I lead a small group. Actually, my wife leads a small group, and my son actually leads a small group through the youth department. And so our youth department, brilliant. I just love our youth department. They have actually modeled after the adults and done launched small groups as well. And tonight, my 16-year-old, my son, he actually hosted his first small group. And I wanted to talk a little bit about that in this family section of our program. GFC Today stands for God, Family, Country. The first part of our show, we try to relay the word, the message of God, the message of the word, and we try to stay faithful to the word and put him first in everything we do. The second part of our show is this section right now, which is a family part of our show. And then the last part of our show, we try to wrap up with our country, which is current events and things going on in the world, in the news today. So today, my son had his first small group, and it was amazing. It went well. We had five kids show up from church. We wanted to try to invite some young men from around a apartment complex, but apparently they had other plans. However, it was a great show. I mean, it was a great group. We had a fantastic time, and we just had a it was amazing. I tried to stay out of it as much as I could because I wanted really my son to take the lead, and I'm kind of an alpha dog, so I kind of want to take the lead in everything I do. And I did the best I could to try to let him run the show, but I just wanted to be there for guidance and support if he needed something. So we kicked it off. We had pizza and drinks, and it was just. And the title of his group is, well, the concept of his group is a video game and Bible study group. And for you guys, y'all that might be have any ideas for a small group, it's a fantastic idea. I mean, they just had so much fun. The way we did it was because it's football season, and it's an amazing football season already. His grandparents actually donated Madden 16 on the PlayStation 3 for him, and they donated that to his group so he could have his group and do that. They also donated two extra controllers. And I'll tell you what, it was it was amazing. We had five guys from church come over, and they played a tournament style. So we had a bracket system set up, and we played video games. Really, really just played video games. That was great. You had the interaction from the guys. We actually gave out $10 worth of Buffalo Wild Wings coupons, so to the winner. And we played. They did the tournament style, and at the before the last final matchup, he did a well. My son did. He read a devotional, which is a Duck Commander devotional, which really was really good. It's really well written, and I got to tell you, it was an amazing time because for me, when I think back of what I was doing when I was 16 years old, I can promise you, without a doubt, it was not leading a small group through my church. I grew up in a church that was very solemn, very very monotonous, I guess you could say, and I don't mean that in a bad sense. I just mean that in a true sense. So for me, there was no community. There was no communal sense of being interacting with each other. It was you kind of went and you met on Wednesday nights and you just went because you had to go because your parents made you go. From looking back at that and looking at my son now, I'm overwhelmed as a Christian dad. I'm really overwhelmed, and I'm extremely proud of my son. Extremely proud. You know, he mentioned the thought of starting up a Connect group, and I told him, I said, "You should do a video game group, man. You already like playing video games anyway. You might as well just invite some friends over and call it a group." And then so we got the ball rolling, and it worked out. And I'm just so proud as a Christian dad, and I am going to encourage each and every one of the dads, really the dads out there, the Christian dads, really the dads in general, get a hold of your sons, mentor them, spend some time with them if you haven't, help them to view. Maybe you can start up a group and where you're at. Maybe your church doesn't do small groups. Maybe you could suggest that to one of the elders or the pastors and get their input on that. Or maybe you don't have to. Maybe you can just start up a communal group where you live of just invite the neighbors, invite some kids down the street for pizza and games, you know. Do a little devotion afterwards when it's over. And we have a heart for people. We have a heart for people. And my son has got such a huge heart. I honestly see him working with youth or see him working with younger kids. They kids just love him. They love him. They gravitate towards him. It's natural for him. It's a God gift. I know it is. So we're extremely proud of him. We're extremely proud of him. And we just think that he's just amazing. He's doing an amazing job. I tell you, video game small group, it won't go wrong with that. That's a good idea if you ask me. Pizza, video games, and then devotion, and you're good to go. So, well, I just wanted to touch on that and just say how awesome it is as a Christian dad to see my son do at 16 years old leading a small group. An amazing feeling. And I encourage you guys out there to get connected. Get connected with your community. Get connected with your kids. Do life with your kids. Do ministry with your kids. So I just wanted to comment on that. Speaking of fathers, I'm a father. I'm a father that supports life. I'm a father that supports. I'm a dad for life. You know, really, that's what it is. And so with that, it's tragic to see the situation going on with Planned Parenthood in the news. And this is our country portion of the show. This is GFC Today, God, Family, Country Today, where we lift up, train up, and speak up. Lift up the name of Jesus, train up our family in the way they should go. Speak up on current issues, and that's what we're doing right now. We're talking about Planned Parenthood. We're talking about the protests that are going to go on tomorrow. October 10th is going to be a nationwide Planned Parenthood protest, and that will be taking place tomorrow. So if you're planning on going out to protest tomorrow, I pray that you would be safe. I pray that you're protected, and also pray that you would be able to minister to someone that needs it. And so with that being said, I've come up with a little bit of, I'm actually going to, we don't have a Planned Parenthood where I live. However, I'm still going to go protest. I'm going to go hold signs. I have one sign that I made, and I'm going to hold that at the corner of a busy intersection. Just to get the word out, just to get, we have to at least get the word out, because if what I'm hearing correctly, there's about 60% of people in the United States think Planned Parenthood is a good thing. And so, but in that actuality, there's 70%, there's only 30% of people that have actually seen the videos that have surfaced as from Center for Medical Progress, which state that they have released the videos of Planned Parenthood and selling aborted baby body parts, which, by the way, used to be a tongue twister. Remember Rubber Baby Buggy Bumper? That's not the tongue twister anymore. Now it's aborted baby body parts. That's the new tongue twister, by the way. I was being sarcastic, but I hope you catch my drift. So, are you protesting tomorrow? Are you going to go protest? And you just have to be pro-life. Lives matter to me. Lives matter. All lives matter. All of them do. And so with that, I just wanted to suggest, and by the way, don't let anyone tell you these videos are fake or edited, heavily edited, as an excuse to dismiss them. There is a coalfire.com. If you look up Coalfire Labs, Coalfire Research and Labs, Coalfire, they will, the Center for Medical Progress, immediately after they were done filming these videos, they took the videos to Coalfire Labs and had them basically verified, had them verified in their labs to make sure that they were authentic. So they have, Coalfire has their stamp of approval on these videos stating that they are indeed authentic and have not been tampered with other than normal editing that would, bathroom breaks and background noise and things like that. So don't let anyone tell you they're not legit, because they are legit, too legit to quit. You know what I mean, dog? Stop it. Don't go back to the 90s. Oh, that was kind of funny. Hey, check it. I've actually wrote this on my on a poster that I'm going to hold up tomorrow. My wallet, my choice. So you've heard a lot of the Planned Parenthood activists that are for abortion or pro-choice, I guess you would say. I think pro-choice means pro-death, to be honest with you. Pro-choice means pro-murder. Okay. And Kelsey Grammer is wearing a pro-life T-shirt per the Breitbart, I believe, has a picture of him, or Life News, I believe, has a picture of him, and it says, "I wonder if they'd be okay if we just use guns to abort the babies." You know, how would that feel? How would they feel about that? I think that's a little extreme, but he has a point. He has a point. You know, with all the uproar with gun control and everything. Anyway, that's another topic for another day. So my wallet, my choice. A lot of activists have sold signs up and they say, "My body, my choice." Fine. Your body, your choice. Here's the deal. We can't get our Congress, if you can't get your government to stop aborting babies, to stop killing babies in the womb, let alone selling their baby body parts or tiny little body parts for money, for profit, we can't get our government to get them to stop doing that, we're in trouble. I'm sorry, but you're in trouble when you can't get your government to move on this and shut this thing down and stop federal tax dollars from going to this organization. You have a problem. You have a very big problem. And this is one thing that I've noticed. When you don't see government officials, when you don't see people in the high positions in the House, in the Senate, when you don't see them move and try to break their back trying to get this thing, something, let's just say, for example, there's not been a lot of movement in Congress about this. There has not. When you see that, that's got to raise a flag to say how many people, how many of these guys are involved? And I'm not talking about red or blue here. I'm talking about right or wrong. How many of these guys are involved in this thing? It makes you, there is no longer a red and blue. Now it's just right or wrong. It doesn't matter what side of the aisle you're on. It doesn't matter if you're a donkey or an elephant. When you can't move on that and jump on something like that, that's not a good sign for the country. Because the majority of Americans disapprove of this. And then we got to do something about it. It makes me wonder how many of those politicians have money tied up in Planned Parenthood. How many in their daily operations? How many of them have their pockets lined with Planned Parenthood's money? And it's a game. It goes back and forth. You pass law, you get the money for it as a legislator. You kick the money back to Planned Parenthood, and it goes back and forth. It's like ping pong. It's sick. It's enough already. Call your congressman. Demand defunding of Planned Parenthood. Are you? Do you want to defund Planned Parenthood? Do you not? And see, that leads me to my final point, is that my wallet, my choice. I think that we should be given a choice. If you're not going to, obviously the government doesn't care about defunding Planned Parenthood. Very well. Fine. You want to fund them? Fine. Give me the option to opt out of paying federal taxes. Give me the option to say no to Planned Parenthood. I think it's fair. I think it's fair if you ask me. That's my opinion. Now, you may be for Planned Parenthood. You may be against them. Do you have your reasons? I have mine. I'm against them. Why? The Center for Medical Progress has released those videos. You know what I'm talking about. Go check it out. Go type in Center for Medical Progress in your YouTube browser, and you'll see what I'm talking about. So enough is enough already. Enough is enough. My choice. Okay? My wallet. My wallet, my choice. Let me have the option. If I don't want tax dollars going to Planned Parenthood, let me have that choice to say, hey, I don't want to. If you want to fund them, you go right ahead. It's your wallet, your choice. But I have a wallet, and I have my choice to say, hey, I don't want my money going there. If you're not going to defund it, that's up to you. That's your problem. Congress, if you're not going to do, if you're not going to move on this and defund them, that's fine. Give me the option to defund them. Let me have my choice for my wallet. And let me decide where my money goes. Because that's American. That's the American way. That's pro-choice. That's true pro-choice. You want to be pro-choice? So do I. Let me decide. Let me decide where my money goes. Just an interesting, I really do hope that you can make it out tomorrow. We don't even have a Planned Parenthood where I live, but I'm still going to go out and I'm going to hold a sign up, and I feel like I have to. As a Christian, I feel like it's my duty, because this country needs change, and it doesn't need the change that we've been having for the past 8 years. I'm sorry, and I don't mean to sound political, but it's the truth. I'm starting to get it now in my old age. I'll be 38 this month, by the way. So happy birthday to me, October 21st. I will be having a birthday. I'll be turning 38 years old. I can't believe how quickly time flies by. But I tell you what, I'm loving every minute of it. I love my life. I love my Jesus. I love my family. And I love this country. And that's what we try to do here at GFC Today. And this has been MG Jr., your host. We're going to wrap it up. Another one goes in the bucket. Another one, we won't say bites the dust, but we'll say that another one is finished for this time. So, remember, when all else fails, stand. But also remember that there's a reason for armor in the Bible. In Ephesians chapter 6. Suit up. It's time for battle. GFC Today, thank you for listening.
Those who rest.